Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back to episode 10 of On the Fence. Before we begin, today's intro is going to be a little bit different. I wanted to announce that 90% of the profits from this episode will be going towards an animal shelter of my choosing. So if you're listening, thank you. And if you can help us raise as much as we can, please share this episode on your Instagram stories, Twitters, Facebooks, and tell all of your friends and family. But now, on to the episode.
This is On the Fence with Monica Oksanen.
Today, we have a very special guest. Joanna Krupa is a Polish-American model, actress, and animal rights activist. She's known internationally as the host and head judge of Polish Top Model, as well as for appearances on reality TV shows such as Dancing with the Stars and The Real Housewives of Miami. She has been on the cover of many magazines, including Maxim, Playboy, South Africa, GQ, and Polish Cosmopolitan and Glamour. She has also done multiple campaigns for PETA. I could go on, but I think I've sung enough words of praise.
Well, Joanna, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi.
As always, I start off talking about how I meet my guests, and I feel like our story is a little funny because I grew up watching you. My mom obviously knew who you were, so we ended up connecting on Instagram, and I remember the day you followed me back where I called my mom. I was like, "Mom, you will never believe who just followed me. Like, how did this even happen?" And then there was your event in New York, and we all went out to dinner and chatted, and it was so crazy because you were my first big celebrity who I got to learn that, you know, like you're just a human, just like everybody else. You were so cool and humble. So that was really a really fun experience for me.
Aw, thank you. Yeah, and it was very sweet for you coming to support my event. And, you know, I think it's something about also that you're Polish and, you know, there's always like, sometimes there's like a special bond. And I followed your, you know, I seen your posts and stuff and I thought you were adorable and you had, you know, with your success and with the Olympics and stuff. So I just thought it's, you know, it's inspiring. It was also inspiring. So I think that's why, like, when, you know, we started following each other, was, you know, it was just like something like, wow, I'm proud of this girl, you know, another future Polish success story.
Yeah, I feel like there's not a lot of Polish Americans that really are. I've seen a lot of Polish people in America be like, oh no, I'm American. Like, no, you've been living here 20 years, you were born in Poland, why are you taking away from your heritage? And that was always something that I always valued in you, where you stuck to your roots. You said, yes, Polish American, you know, I want to be, that's exactly what I want to be. I don't want to change anything.
Yeah. And you know what, mate, with that, exactly what you just said, it makes me sad because at the end of the day, everybody is from somewhere. We're all immigrants. Right. You're, you know, unless you're American Indian, you're not, you know, an American. So for me, like, I remember growing up, we had, you know, like, mom had friends that wouldn't allow their kids to speak Polish.
Like,
he was
crazy.
Like, oh, we left Poland. We don't need to speak Polish. It's just like, are you serious?
Wow.
Wouldn't you want your kids to speak like different languages? And I think because of that growing up, I realized like how people sometimes it was like an embarrassment, like, oh, we got out, so now we're cool. We don't want to, you know, even admit that we come from another country, which is just sad. Like, you, to me, it's like, be proud of where you come from, you know?
Right.
So that's
right.
Why
you wouldn't be where you are today.
Exactly. It's like, you know what? I love that I was born in Poland. I love, you know, my family. I love America. I love my dogs. It's just like, you should be proud of everything. You know, we all also make mistakes in life. You learn from them, but don't hide from something, you know, especially from a place that you were born. It's just sad.
Right. No, I definitely agree. I actually never heard anybody say, don't speak Polish. Like, we've moved on from that. That's wild. Yeah. Wow. People are crazy. To the extreme.
To the extreme. Yes. I think we've experienced that recently.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And something else that we definitely bonded over is our love for dogs. How many dogs do you have at this point?
Sadly, I have 4. I had 7. 3 passed away in the last 2 years. 2 from old age. 1 was almost a senior, but just ended up getting heart disease and got sick one day. And
oh, I'm sorry.
4 little munchkins.
That's the sad part of dogs are so incredible. Animals in general, and they live such short lives. Meanwhile, there's horrible people in the world who live for
forever.
90 something.
Can it be the other way around?
Right, exactly. I agree. Amen to that. But what was the most amount of dogs you had at one time? I think you were telling me when, I think those were what, in Miami? Didn't you have like four dogs?
In Los Angeles. I had probably, it was either 12 or 15. It was like temporary, but when I was fostering dogs, there was times where a rescue group needed a space until they can transport the dogs to another location. So I think it was, yeah, around 15 at one time, which thankfully my neighbors never knew the truth, or I would have been in a lot of trouble.
That's crazy. That's kind of my dream, to have a home with a large yard and be able to take in a bunch of dogs.
It is a dream. It is amazing, but it's like sometimes it's really draining. So
I'm sure
if you have that, just make sure you have help, because yeah, they're a lot of work. I mean, I have one dog, Darla, that has glaucoma. So it's like, you know, three times a day, you got to give her the drops. And now it's heartbreaking, because now I have to, it kind of got to the point where I have to decide on eye surgery removal, which is killing me, because obviously I don't want to do it, but I also can't be selfish and not do it, because the doctors make you feel, you know, guilty. Well, she has headaches every day. I'm like, how do you know she has headaches? She's acting normal, you know, like she's like the same dog. So I gotta, you know, I gotta decide if I'm gonna pull the trigger on that. And then I have another dog that's been like going in and out of the hospital for the last month. She has an inflamed stomach and and intestines. So it's like never ending. So I'm telling you, it is draining, but it's worth it. I mean, they're just, nobody is excited when you come home as they are. So it's, and you know, there's no better snuggle buddy besides my daughter, of course, than, you know, than your fur babies.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, even with, well, I have two, but my mom's dog and I, that I kind of take care of when I'm home, yeah. But there's always something like Pongo. In the last 2 years, he ended up, there's something called happy tail syndrome, where he smacked his tail on something and the tip of it went missing. He like cracked it open. And then then there was nerve damage. So it fell off. So for 3 months I was bandaging his tail, like, and then the bandage would fly off. So that was a process. And then a month ago we were playing Frisbee and he ripped off his toenail, which I didn't even know
that's the worst. Yeah,
for horrible. Them. And it was just so much blood. Oh my God. So it's always something.
It's like, you know, it's having a child seems a little bit easier, you know, to be
so
honest
funny.
With you.
Especially because at some point they start speaking and your dogs will never speak and you have to figure out what it is that they want.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Okay, well, like I told you, the idea of having you come on this episode is that you played a huge role in the adoption of my Peruvian dog, which you never heard the entire story. You just kind of heard the summary, which I don't even remember what I told you, because that was such an emotional and like dramatic day for me. So I thought it'd be nice for you to hear the full story. And before we start, I want to also say again, thank you, because this wouldn't have been possible without you.
Sure. And my literally pleasure. God, if there was only more people like you that, you know, go on a trip and come back with a poor, you know.
Yeah, there's so many dogs over there. Like, it was literally my nightmare. Like, I want to see South America, but I don't think I can do it with the amount of dogs. Like, I was in Mexico and this dog that was literally a skeleton crossed across the street. And I cried hysterically for the rest of the day. So I don't know if I can continue traveling, because I would adopt all of these dogs.
That's a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. But this, he's amazing. So that's awesome that at least he gets to have a loving home.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely won the lotto. That's for sure.
That's what we tell him. And my mom asks, she asks him, do you realize like what you did? Like, you walked into the arms of literally the perfect person. Like, did he know at the time that like, I'm the sucker that's going to bring him home? God, from the streets to living in Jersey, going on walks, sleeping on beds, crazy. So the story began obviously in Peru when I was there for the Pan American Games. And I convinced my teammate to go fly with me to Cusco to go climb Machu Picchu. And the process to get to Machu Picchu is insane. Have you ever been to Machu Picchu?
Never.
Well, it's a journey. So you can only get there you have to book through a travel agency. You need a van to get you to the train station, a train, and then you need tickets to get up to Machu Picchu. So it's a whole process. So when we went the day before, we didn't realize how much far in advance that you actually have to plan it out. We actually got the last two available spots on the train for the day, which this whole story is this whole big coincidence that I even found him, but that's part of it. So we got the last two seats. We had to wake up at like 4:30 in the morning to take this first, like the van to the train station. We were freezing in the train station because there's no heat, of course. Then you have that hour and a half long train ride, and then you can either climb the stairs or you can take a bus up to Machu Picchu.
Okay.
Us being athletes, we decide we're going to take the stairs, and it is the steepest climb up the stairs that I have ever done in my life. So we were post-competition, and like halfway up, we're like, why are we stupid? We could have been lazy people and taken the bus.
Yeah.
But no, we climbed the stairs.
Yeah.
whatever, great, worked out. And then when we came down, we had 2 hours left for the train, because since we had the last two train tickets, it was like the crazy times, instead of like, you can come down and take the train right away. So again, coincidence of all this. So my teammate wanted to take out money from the ATM. The first ATM we go to has no cash.
Wow.
There's only one other ATM, and you have to go up it's the smallest town ever. And she wants to go to the ATM, and I say, I'm going to sit down in this bench. I can't do it anymore. My legs hurt. So I sit down on the bench. I'm just hanging out. And then all of a sudden, this black dog comes up to me, and I put my hand out. He sniffs my hand. I pet him. And then within seconds, he has his two front paws in my lap. Like, I never even invited him. He just like walked up. So I'm just laughing like to myself, like petting him. I took photos as I'm petting him. He brings up his hind legs, lays down in my lap. So I'm just holding this dog, and he's not a tiny dog, and he's just laying in my lap. My teammate comes. She's like, what did you do? And I was like, when I tell you, I actually didn't do anything, where I've been feeding dogs in the street. I don't even have anything on me. I don't know. He's just in my lap.
Yeah.
So then I asked her if she can go get him some kind of food. She comes with cans of tuna. We feed him. He drinks water. And this time he got off my lap. As soon as he's done, he gets back into my lap. He was sleeping, having dreams, because I learned homeless dogs actually don't get normal sleep, which makes sense because they're terrified. So they can never actually sleep fully.
Really? Oh my God. That breaks my heart.
He slept nonstop at the vet because they kept updating me. And obviously he was skinny, but yeah, he was like passed out in my arms. And then came time to leave. So I'm already in tears. I already fell in love with this dog, and I put him off. He jumps on the bench and then goes to climb onto my back. Again, I'm just crying more. He gets off the bench. He starts grabbing my legs with his paws. I get down on the ground already, like, again, tears flowing down my face. I go and hug him. He grabs my jacket with his teeth. I'm sobbing out loud. I'm like starting to tear up thinking about this. So I'm walking. So I'm walking to the train. He's following me again, like even more tears. And then this couple next to me, she's like, well, you have to take him home. And I was like, if only I could, like, I would. Like, I fell in love with this dog. At this train station, same thing, trying to get onto my back, grabbing my feet with his legs, grabbing my jacket with his teeth. I'm a mess. My teammate like drags me away, and she's like, how would you bring him home? Like, this is a whole process, putting him on the train, flying him home. Like, how would you even do this? I'm like, you're right, I can't do it. But I'm a mess on the train. I posted a photo on Instagram saying, like, if anybody sees him, take a photo of him, feed him, give him water, take care of him. And that's where everything begins. So people were following me. I've obviously in Peru, and then just people in general that followed me, and people started reaching out. They're like, hey, bring this dog home. And then this one person says, listen, my friend helps people bring home dogs internationally. Why don't I put you in touch?
Mm-hmm.
So all this starts happening, and I'm like starting to get excited. So like, okay, how can, like, is this even possible? And then I thought of you, because you're animal activist, and you obviously, like, we talked about dogs, and you're in touch with all these people. So I was like, let me message Joanna. Maybe she'll know. At least I can find out if this is possible. I gave you the summary. Like I said, I don't even remember what I told you, because this was just a crazy mess at that point. But you connected me to your friend. I think it was at Animal Hope and Wellness. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
And then she was answering questions. And then you off to the side messaged me. You're like, hey, we're making this happen. Whatever I got to do, let's bring this dog home.
Yeah.
So like, I didn't even have a chance to think about any of this. Like,
like, oh my God, now I'm pressured into it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even have time to think about literally what was happening, because like on this hour and a half long train ride, everything was taken care of. Literally everything. Like, I was already in touch with a vet in Cusco. She already had a cage for me. I already knew the dog was going to Lima. I already knew what flight the dog was going to be on. I knew everything. So then it kept like all hitting me in waves, where I was like, what am I doing again? Like, is this really happening? So I changed all of my plans. I was supposed to go to another town the next day, but instead I extended my Airbnb in Cusco. I went to the vet to pick up the cage. I got an Uber to go to this train station, which you're not even supposed to take an Uber because they don't go that far, but we negotiated.
Of course you did.
Of course. I got to the train station with this giant crate, because like I said, he's not a small dog. So I think the crate's like, I don't know, probably 5-6 feet.
It was what, like 70 pounds, 60?
I think 60. I don't remember, but I think 60. But it's pretty big, but it's folded up, but not fun to carry around. So I get to the train station. The guy's like, no, you can't get on this train. I was like, no, I already talked to people. I know I can. You guys have room.
It's always that one person trying to make your life miserable.
Yeah. So I was told to like keep using Pan American Games and the fact that we won in like the Olympics. And she was like, they'll do anything. Took a little bit of crying, but we got on the train. I also took the, oh no, just kidding. Wait, I went to a hostel first. That's what it was. I forgot that part. With an outdoor shower, woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get onto the train, but it was a 1 mile hike to get to the train station with this cage. This is where I was like, I'm the craziest person in the world. Only I would do this. I was crying, carrying this cage. My arms hurt. And then it was the guy telling me I can't put it on the train. That was the order. Whatever. Got the cage on the train. I arrive in town. I ask this hotel lobby to leave the cage at so I can walk around looking for this dog. And at first, when I walk around the entire area, I can't find him anywhere. So at this point, I'm like, I've done all this stuff. Now this dog's nowhere to be found. Like, what have I done? This is so stupid. So I'm in tears. But then I cross over the one bridge to get over to the other side and I see him. So crazy me starts running and this dog kind of like stopped, ready to attack me. But as I kept talking to him, I guess he realized because you can see his demeanor change and he starts getting excited. He runs to me. I bought a collar for him. So I put him on the collar. Meanwhile, it's like 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning and there's an entire line of people waiting for the bus. So people are like, are you bringing this dog home? And I was like, yeah, I am. So they start clapping for me. Aww. I'm like crying tears of joy that I found him.
Yeah.
And then the whole mess begins of the entire process because they don't care about these dogs in Peru.
A lot of countries don't care about animals. That's the sad part.
Yeah. I heard that's actually how it used to be in Poland. My mom said that like nobody gave a shit about them.
I mean, it's still pretty bad. Like in the countryside, they have them chained up and, you know, in the winter time. And it's just, yeah, I mean, we can educate people and do as much as we can, but you still get those, you know, and it's like, I understand like some people like, well, they're, you know, some countries are just so poor that they can't feed themselves. But I'm just like, but still, like, I mean, I can't put myself in those shoes because I'm not those people. But I'm like, there has to be a way of, you know, like a rescue group or somebody that sees this is happening. There has to be, you know, like, sorry, not trying to cut you off or anything. But when I was on my honeymoon in Bora Bora with my husband, the same thing. You know, you leave the, you know, the beautiful resort area, you go into the main island and you see so many stray dogs. It just kills you. And so of course we bought a bunch of food. We drove around the island feeding them and they were just so, you know, appreciative. But thankfully I found out there was a rescue group there specifically for that island and a vet. So of course I met with them and they told us, you know, what they do. So I've, you know, helped them, donated a little bit of money there. And so at least it made me feel good that I just didn't leave,
right, you know, you did something.
Poor dogs there. Like they do as much as they can. Obviously they can't help all of them because there are people that just don't care. It's a poor, you know, the locals are poor, so they don't worry about the dogs. They worry about them, their own self. So it's tough, but yeah, there's a lot of countries where you go and you just see so many stray animals. It's just,
yeah. But the problem here with Peru is they see somebody's trying to adopt this dog, instead of helping me, they made it so difficult for me. And like, you have all these stray dogs, why are you making it difficult for me? They're like, why do you want this dog?
Because they don't care. It's to them, it's a thing. It's like a leaf on the tree. Like, and like, who cares, you know?
Right. That was the craziest part to me. That was what I couldn't grasp because I needed a park ranger, which I met up with, and he went to go talk to the train company. And that was a whole process. They came back that this dog needs papers. And meanwhile, the dog has a cage. So why does it really need papers? But of course I didn't have any. So the vet that I was in touch with forged the papers, but then they would come out and ask me questions because they're like, okay, but like, how does this dog have papers here and you need to bring the dog back? I was like, the vet came here to make sure the dog was good. They're like, so why didn't you leave together with the vet? I was like, because I didn't have a cage and I had to go back and get the cage. So they kept throwing questions at me and I had to like panic and think.
Make things up.
Got through that, but they're like, okay, well, the dog can be put on another train as cargo. They can't go with you. And I was like, no, I need the dog with me. I have like transport arranged. I want to make sure the dog's taken care of. They're like, okay, well, you can go talk to the whole manager of this whole company. I was like, okay, sounds good. So I get put into this office. I'm already like, so like, we're running out of time. I don't know what to be doing. And then he was like, okay, well, like, well, why do you need this dog? Like, do you need it for emotional reasons? And I was like, yes, that's exactly it. That's why I need this. He is my emotional support dog. And he's like, okay, well, I need papers. Okay, next step. So I texted, I think like 15 people, anyone that I know is in medical school, knows a doctor, dated a doctor, anything and everybody. Like, again, I'm running out of time. Yeah. Luckily, my best friend, Tom, responded really quickly. And he's like, sure, okay. And like, asked me a few questions.
The doctor?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So he prescribed me as the emotional support dog. And he like, didn't ask questions. Cause I was like, you can't ask questions. We don't have time. Like, can you do this? And if you can do this, like, what do you need? So he figured that out. We had to send it over to the company. They're like, okay, cool. We put the dog on the train in the cage, which was so like, the process later was so heartbreaking because I'm like, I'm pulling this dog out of this situation. He's terrified. He has no idea what's going on. I'm the only thing that he knows. So like, even in the cage, he would only sit like at the door as close as to me as possible. But he was like sitting against the cage door. And like, if he would fall asleep, he would wake up to look at me. We got him back in the car and he was supposed to sit in the back seat, but he crawled over to the front seat because he was so terrified the entire time.
I mean, you know, things don't really always come together like that. So I'm glad it's a happy ending, you know?
Oh my God, it's amazing. I mean, we all love him.
And there were some issues with me making the payment with their wire info, like the money wouldn't go through. They're like, we have to put the dog on the plane right now if we don't have the money. I'm like, the money, it's out of my account. I'm like, I just sent screenshots. I'm like, it's out of my account.
Right, what else can I do?
Oh my God. So then I was like stressed out that they weren't going to put him in the plane. I'm like, I hate you. Double check with your bank. Let the dog go.
Yeah, no, that was definitely really stressful. And then because we got him castrated. So then he chewed through himself out of his cone. That's what it was. So we had to wait an additional week because he was licking his wounds. He's so smart. It's crazy. I mean, obviously, because he survived. But yeah, I mean, afterwards getting to the vet, he had to get flown to Cusco. And then he sat in quarantine in Lima for 3 weeks. And then he got shipped over he had a layover in Panama, I think, if I remember correctly. And then JFK. And it was crazy to have seen him change like through the years. Like he didn't sleep on the bed. He didn't cuddle. He was so afraid of everything. And like I said, now at night, he'll move down to the edge of the bed because he doesn't want to wake you if he moves. And then in the morning, when you wake up, he like gets up and literally like crawls into your arms. So you're spooning him.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's absolutely incredible. And I mean, my mom's like literally obsessed with him. She told my grandpa that he was the love of her life. My grandpa's like, you're in love with the dog. And she's like, if you met this dog, you would understand.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And then the video I showed you, like he comes and he kisses you. And like, then he gives this like frustrated, like, because I don't even know how to explain it. Like he would want to do more, but he can't. So he like has this frustrated little sound when he's like nibbling on your nose.
Lucky, lucky little munchkin. That's for sure. My God. Can you imagine like his friends? Like, where did he go? What happened? Remember that guy? Where did he go? Wonder what's going on with him. It's like, hey, why didn't he get saved?
Right. I know. Like, let me find a crazy girl. And it's crazy too, like thinking about like if he had puppies, like where are those puppies? It's just, I don't know.
You know, that probably was the case. I'm sure he has some babies out there.
Yeah, and I wish I could save them all, but.
Yeah, trust me. I mean, it's like, you know, there were points in my life where I was just like going, you know, like kind of not getting depressed, but just it being so down so much. Cause I'm just like, I felt like even, you know, what I did in my power, which isn't as much as, you know, other people can do, but I did as much as I thought I could, but it's, you never feel like it's enough. And and you're like, in one way you feel, why should I help this dog when there's all these other dogs? Like you feel guilty because how can you choose them? You know, and that's the worst part. And it's like, I try to get myself to understand, like, if you're helping one, it's that one that you're, you know, at least it's, you're saving its life. So stop thinking about everything else because you can't save them all. It's like just one at a time. But you know, no matter how you look at it, there's always a little bit guilt because you're just like, why is this dog special and lucky and this one's not, and it breaks your heart. But
yep, I'm exactly the same way, so I know exactly what you're saying. Like I'm tearing up thinking about it because it's my same mentality. Like I said, I mean, whenever I see a homeless dog, like people think I'm crazy because I see a dog that's like sitting in a parking lot. I'm like, can you pull over? There's a convenience store, I'll buy food, whatever. And they're like, you can't help every dog. I'm like, okay, but I can help this dog. Like anyone that I see, I want to help them.
You know what, like if everybody thought like we do and had the heart that we do, the world would be a better place. You know, I think if that's the problem. There's just so many people that are just so, like, they live in their bubble and they don't care what goes on in the world and with other, anybody else besides who's in their circle. And that's the sad part, you know, because I think no matter what your income level is or success level, we can help. It just literally takes a little to help, you know, at least spread the message, go to a shelter, go, you know, volunteer, take dogs for a walk. I mean, you know, there's always ways that we can help, you know, and it's just, I don't think there's just just enough people that care. That's, I think, at the end of the day, the problem. But, you know, look how people treat each other. So I guess we can't expect the world to be perfect because people just hurt one another on a daily basis. So
yeah, I think the world just lacks compassion in every single way.
That's the perfect word, compassion.
Because, I mean, animals are loving. Every single animal is loving, like horses, dogs, even chickens. Like they all have feelings and people just treat them like
nothing because they don't speak. So they can't talk back and they can't say something hurts them. So they're like, yeah, they can't speak. So who cares how they're feeling, you know? And
even dogs, like you can hit a dog and the dog will still come back to you. I mean, even like seeing all like the crazy torture porn that comes from China, and you'll see these dogs and someone hurts them and the dogs are like, looks at them confused of like, why did you do that to me?
Yeah. My sister adopted a dog from one of the meat trades in China. And at first she was, Meili was like so scared of, you know, everybody. Obviously she loved my sister because she, I guess she knew that she's her new owner. But, and like, you just look at this dog and like, you're just like, how can anybody like even think to torture you? You know, it's like, I don't know. I'll never understand. But
same. Like I look even at Otto when he's like sitting. My God, this dog just has so much personality. And he's just like he's like better behaved than like my mom's dog who was raised in the house. Because I think he's just kind of constantly like, listen, like they let me into their home. I'm not gonna misstep over here in case they throw me out. But like I look at him like how do you not have a home? He's beautiful. Like I said, so sweet, so giving. But
yeah, I mean a lot of problems I think and you know in certain countries there's no rescue groups that control, you know, spaying and neutering. That's the biggest issue, you know.
Yeah.
Because of that, if we had different, you know, rescue groups in each country or, you know, all little towns of each country, then, you know, there would be a way at least to control the overpopulation with, you know, I mean, but we have the same issue here in America. It's like because of the overpopulation, people don't spay and neuter their dogs, and then millions of them get euthanized in the shelters.
Right.
So it's just.
But see, I don't think it's that difficult to change.
Yeah. Or you have an on you know, like, because there's some organizations where they have, you know, the vans where they drive around and spay and neuter, or they vaccine animals. And so hopefully, your story really inspires other people that, you know, that a fur baby is, you know, could be your best friend no matter what part of the world you're in. And sometimes it's worth to go through a little bit of trouble like you did. Cause I mean, what you did for him, it's like dedication. Like this dog is seriously like he's won the lotto because all the obstacles you were going through, you didn't give up. You still went for it and you still did it. So, I mean, it's amazing. I think it's like an inspirational story and you should, you know, keep talking about it. Hopefully it will get other people to do the same next time they're traveling and they see a lonely little fur baby and hopefully they get their best friend or at least try to find a local home for them.
Yeah, or a rescue of anything. Yeah. Like with my story when I was sharing it and I was saying of like, if I can at least get one dog adopted from me sharing my story, I already did something with it.
You know, it's like a ripple effect. You know, you do something and if one person hears you, then they'll tell another person. Then that person will tell somebody. And that's just the way life is. And, you know, at least you can feel warm in your heart that you did something good and by hopefully inspired other people to do the same. You know, and then I'm sure it did. And you have an angel with you because I'm sure he, you know, he's so grateful and he'll always be by your side. And I'm sure he'll bring you lots of good luck.
He does. We're currently working on him so he can come to New York because he's terrified of other people. So it makes me really sad that he's not here with me. I have Pongo because he's easy to do.
The black and white one, right?
Yeah. So we're working on Otto. I might have to get a trainer because he barks at other people. He's just terrified. He literally starts shaking. So work in progress. It also taught me an absurd amount of patience because
take
like 3 steps and then you fall down 4 and then you have to keep going because we would make progress with him and then he would backtrack and it's a lot of patience. But
how old is he? Did you find out how old he was when you got him?
We really have no idea. They say 3 or 4. I think younger. His teeth are super white and all he wants to do is play. So I guess, but it's also hard to decide because he could just want to play because he never was allowed to play, but he's literally like, that's all he wants to do is play with people.
Yeah, I mean, and plus he's just so happy, you know, and doesn't know what to do with himself.
Yeah, so I'm thinking around like, I mean, it was his first birthday last year. I'm thinking 3 years old.
Yeah, and you don't don't know what he's been through those years that he was on the, you know, on the road. You don't know the abuse he's gone through. And, you know, that's probably why he's scared of noise and people, because it just reminds him, you know,
of everything and like all the unknowns. And like the first thing he hears firework, he like runs into my arms. He's barking at them. He can't calm down. So like July 4th was a whole process. But
I can imagine.
Yeah. I mean, you and I have talked about July 4th and dogs, but like, so I took all the dogs camping. So we're in the middle of nowhere. So at least you'd have to worry about that. So at least doing what I can for him.
Okay. And that's all that it takes. But, you know, hopefully other people listen and, you know, and get inspired and do the same.
Yeah, I hope so. And then, like I was telling you, we're going to donate 90% of the proceeds of this episode to some kind of shelter. So if you have one in mind, let me know. Or if not, I'll just donate to one that I know.
I trust you to donate to the one you know.
Cool. Perfect. All right. Well, thank you again. Thank you for helping me with the dog and help. Thank you for coming on and spreading awareness.
Sounds good. And let's talk more about your little idea there.
We will. I'm excited.
Okay. Bye, sweetheart.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.